from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
He's got all the insight of what you want to know and maybe some of what you don't want to know. Here's K-State insider Tim Fitzgerald.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Hour number two here on Sports Daily. Joining us on the IHOP hotline, brought to you by IHOP. Excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th is our K-State insider. He's publisher of GoPowerCat.com, at Life of Fitz on X. Tim Fitzgerald joins us as we are counting down the days now. What are we, a week and just a little bit of change from the start of the college football season? And K-State right square smack in the middle of a team I think the entire nation has an eye on as a team that could contend for a playoff spot, as a team with a potential Heisman candidate at quarterback that has gained some national acclaim. But it is a season to be – where would you rank this, Fitz, on as far as August 22nd go for K-State football? How does this power rank in – for as far as excitement going into a season and the prospects out there? I would say the most ever, mostly because of an expanded playoff. I don't know. You can correct me on this if I'm wrong. Have there been many seasons where K-State legitimately thought they had a chance to play for a national title on August 22nd?
Yeah, I did a video about this recently, and I think you can go back to 1998. I think we knew K-State was a national title contender for that. I think it's different this year because of this social media, the growth of sports talk radio, the growth of all the programming. And I think fans can, you know, with social media, feed themselves into a frenzy without any of us being involved. And I think that's what's different. We just didn't have that in 98. And, you know, the playoff thing adds another layer. Because back then, you know, to contend for a national title, you had to be in the top two, which K-State was for a while. But now with being able to get to 12, and if you're in the, you know, supposedly in the top 12, you're going to probably be in the playoff. And that's a huge step for the program to get into the bracket. And the bracket's bigger now. It changes the context, but it's still into the bracket with a chance to win it all. So, yeah, I think this is it, guys. I don't think there's been a player as anticipated as Avery Johnson in football in the history of this program, to see what he does as a full-time starter.
You know, big picture, Fitz, looking at Chris Klieman's tenure at Kansas State, you know, even with the large expectations that are there for the Wildcats this year, I mean, Klieman's done phenomenal work, don't get me wrong, but in his tenure, he's only won 9 games one time, and he's never won more than 9 games in a season. I know a lot of that is the conference, and you've got Texas and OU now out of the Big 12 and all of that. But what do you think it's going to take for the Wildcats, big picture-wise, to get over that hump? And I know Avery Johnson's going to be a large part of it. I don't know if he's the only part of it, though.
Yeah. You can't skip steps. I mean, honestly, every team on your schedule can beat you, including Tennessee Martin on August 31st. And if you go back to the Big 12 championship year, they lost to Tulane, which was a great football team, but you lost to them at on your home field in the non-conference. And without that loss, you're probably, you know, you're going to be over that 10-win mark. And so you just got to, you know, pay attention to every step along the way. And that gets a little bit different now in the context of the Big 12, because I think there might be more programs that you can sleep on and maybe think, oh, we got this. You know, we just beat this team. We're not going to have a problem with this team. That's not how it works. Every game is a self-contained environment, and you better pay attention 12 times in a row or someone's going to get you.
The context of the playoff is the key, and that's what I keep going back to. And bigger than K-State, there aren't a lot of years in any in college football for any program where you have an actual chance to win a title. I mean, it just doesn't exist. The reality over the history has been that way. Now it doesn't exist. And that's why I think there are probably shows just like this all around the country. I mean, we'd say the same thing. The same thing exists for KU. All around the country, people feel this way, though. And this is why I always say we'll look back in 5 years and scratch our heads. And I think even the dissenters that would make, in my mind, what is an absolutely ridiculous claim that it will take away from the regular season. I think they'll look back at this and be like, man, what have we been doing?
I'm with you, brother. I think it adds to the regular season.
Of course it does.
A ton. I mean, now you've got teams that had no prospect of making the playoff. You know, maybe you lost a head-to-head game in the regular season that's going to preclude you from getting to your championship game of your conference. You know, if you're in the Big 12, you would have no chance of making the bracket in all likelihood. So now at 12, now at 12, they just expand the hope of so many programs that we just got to get in the bracket. And I keep coming back to this. If you made a New Year's Six Bowl 3 years in a row, people might notice, you know, they might. That, you know, you're having good seasons, but that might be just because you're having good seasons. If you make the bracket 3 years in a row, people are going to take attention to your program, including recruits. And I think it changes the game for, you know, even if you're just a program getting into the bracket, I think that visibility is going to give you a giant boost.
You know, you mentioned, Fitz, how anticipated Avery Johnson is, and he absolutely is. One of the things I've been curious about as we get closer to the season with him is we know that his run ability. We obviously know that he's got a strong arm. Do you think that the way that the Wildcats will utilize him in running, are we going to see a lot of designed runs for him set up, or is it going to be more it's pass first, and if everything else breaks down, then you'll see him break off a run?
I think a lot of the runs will be organic out of, you know, read option, those type of things, where they put defenders in a stress moment of trying to pick between him and DJ Giddens or Dylan Edwards or, you know, maybe someone on a sweep. I think that'll be the organic sense of how a lot of these runs will be. You know, I imagine on some situations I'll just run the quarterback draw because that's been a pretty historically effective play for Kansas State football. And you know, even though these coaches are now completely disconnected from the Snyder era, they get that. They've seen it happen. So I don't know. And honestly, this is one of the things I really want to see here when the season arrives is how careful are they going to be with him, trying to keep him out of peril, keep him away from injury, and will that paralyze them and limit their play calling? We saw that a little bit in the bowl game because he was the only experienced quarterback with any experience on the roster that game. So they protected him. Will they open him up a little bit more to hits? Because you're going to have to find that balance between taking some risk and you know, not being boring and bland, because that's exactly what they did against Tulane that I just talked about 2 years ago.
Fitz, when we look at the conference as a whole, everyone's going to get cupcakes. They'll be, and I know you talk to a lot of people that are at a lot of programs. We just talked about this right before you came on. KU, we get an official announcement that Jalen Daniels is the starter from Lance Leipold. I think that's a significant piece of news based on what we've seen. Some people laughed it off, like, of course he is. But with what we've seen from Leipold, he doesn't always say stuff. He said stuff. He went out of his way to say specifically that Jalen Daniels is ready to go. But that is, you know, that's a little seismic for the league, right? I mean, the difference in KU being at the top and being in the middle probably sits squarely on his shoulders.
Yeah, I mean, based on his history, yeah, I think that's a significant piece of information. And, boy, if he's healthy, man, KU's going to be really good. They're going to be special. So that's just been the question mark. So I think it is a big story. And I know a lot of people just have been saying he's healthy, but to have the head coach come out and say, he's our guy, he's ready to go, I think is very comforting to a lot of people. And they're going to be fearsome with him as a healthy quarterback. And that's going to be a real problem for everyone else in the Big 12.
I know that we won't get the official depth chart for the Wildcats until probably early to mid next week in advance of the game next Friday. And knowing that, I know we don't have any official word, but are there, in your mind, have you been able to hear about any sort of depth chart battles, position battles, that sort of thing that may go down to the wire for K-State?
That's a great question, because there aren't a whole lot. I mean, there's a backup corner spot, the backup quarterback. Maybe they're sorting out something at tight end. I think the line is settled. I think for the most part, the line settled on the defensive side, where being the starter isn't going to be that significant because they're going to rotate so heavily. But I think they're fairly settled in most of their starters. I think they know exactly who's the frontline guys. They're just trying to sort out some of those depth pieces. And I imagine the rotation at receiver is still up for grabs a bit, but that'll be dictated a lot by play calling. I think this is a really settled roster for the most part, but it's been an intense battle for that backup quarterback spot between Taquan Roberson, who comes in from UConn, and Jacob Knuth, who, transferred in from Minnesota a couple years ago. It's intense. They're neck and neck, and that's really good because, in this conference, you can get to your third quarterback before you know it, and that's pretty vital. So I think they're settled. I think they're in a good position. They love their depth, and I don't think the program's had this kind of depth in my memory. They really do run two deep, if not three plus deep in some spots.
There was no question to me. Tim Fitzgerald joining us, our K-State insider, publisher, gopowercat.com, at Life of Fitz on social. There was no question to me last year they were limiting Avery Johnson in what he was, I almost want to say allowed to do, but in what they were trying to have him do. Do you foresee any sort of limits for him from the coaching staff at any point this season? Does he come out of the gates just everything on the table, or do you think there is any desire to still protect him or do whatever it is that coaches feel like they need to do with a young quarterback?
It's going to be interesting. I mean, if you're going to let him go full bore the entire time he's in there, do you really want to be the guy that put your quarterback in peril against Tennessee Martin? That maybe something could happen. So, but the other side of that is injuries happen. You got to let the kid play.
Yeah.
So
especially when he hasn't, right? He hasn't done that before.
Yeah. So this is going to be something I'm really fascinated to see. How do they strike that balance of keeping him protected and also running the offense? We saw him throttled back in the bowl game. He was still effective, but it wasn't anything too awe-inspiring. He had a few great plays, but there's so much more there with this kid. And do you just let him open it up and run and throw and play his game and maybe get his head knocked off? So it's going to be something they're thinking about a lot.
The non-conference schedule fits, of course, starting out with Tennessee Martin. next week, but then from there Tulane, and then Arizona's considered a non-conference game this season, which is interesting. And I think that really what I had neglected to think about or realize or remember, I guess, is that both after Tennessee Martin, both Tulane and Arizona have brand new coaches this year. And so you've got a brand new philosophy and, you know, potentially a brand new scheme for both of these teams coming in. And there might be some growing pains with both Tulane and Arizona. It's been a while. It's been, I think, what, 2 or 3 years since the Wildcats have won all of their non-conference games before they start Big 12 play. So I think knowing that, of course, makes those initial games that much more crucial.
You're right. You know, that's a double-edged sword right there. You also have coaching staffs that are capable of putting stuff on the field that there hasn't been film on. And I think that's a concern the K-State coaches have. They know Tulane still has a lot of talent, and now they have a different coaching philosophy, a different system. They brought in their own quarterback transfer, and it's really a huge unknown. How much of that secret ingredient was Willie Fritz, because he's a brilliant coach? And if that's true, then you're going to have problems with Houston. So we'll find out what they look like. Arizona is very worrisome. They got a great quarterback receiver combination. I love Noah Fifita, and now he's going to be, you know, growing up with another philosophy from a coach. He could just erupt into something. That is going to be a very, very entertaining game between two brilliant young quarterbacks at Bill Snyder Family Stadium on that Friday night. It's going to be something else to watch. And I know the coaches are taking that very seriously too, because that team has some talent, and Fifita is the real deal. He's a little guy, but he makes big plays.
1 week, 2 days until the opener against UT Martin. It's coming Saturday, August 31st. I mean, we'll have a more extensive preview of sorts certainly next week. But in the meantime, over this next 9-10 days, Fitz, what can we find at GoPowerCat.com?
Boy, we're ramping it up. Next week, you get into the, you know, your typical game week previews and all that stuff. The wrinkle is Chris Kleiman's moved his press conference from Tuesday to Monday, so it shifts the schedule a little bit up, which I kind of like. My Mondays were pretty slow, and now we're going to get a lot of information on Monday. I hope we get the depth chart. You know, that is a concern that we'd always have it by Tuesday. Hopefully by Monday, they flipped it around after the game. But, yeah, we're just going to have a lot of coverage, with a lot of preview stuff, and, you know, really settle into our schedule here. And I can't believe it's game week. It just seems like yesterday it was July 4th, and Tommy was out by the pool shooting off bottle rockets in his man thong. And now here we are.
Don't give him credit, because he's given us grief. Savage and I yesterday determined that Wednesdays moving forward for society will be Hawaiian shirt Wednesdays. Now I will wear a Hawaiian shirt anytime. Tim, you look like a guy who appreciates a good Hawaiian. Not to stereotype you, but you do. And Tommy is trying to act too cool.
Well, it's a terrible
to
idea.
Participate. So
we're trying to gain viewers on this video stream, not push them away.
That's valid. Jacob, that's valid.
No, it is not.
I would like to point out that I was at a comedy show wearing a Tommy Bahama when the comedian started ripping on guys who wear Tommy Bahamas. It was an uncomfortable moment and a realization that I'm not nearly as cool as I think I am.
No. He and everyone misunderstands. The statement you make with a good Hawaiian is you don't care what he thinks or anybody thinks. If you're in that audience, who could you walk into the room and guarantee like that? Yep, that guy's going to have fun tonight.
You're right. No, let me point out, this wasn't a floral Tommy Bahama, but it was still Tommy Bahama. But you're right. I think it shows that we're here to party, and we're our minds are in the tropics.
Yeah,
we might be here in Kansas. But we're at the beach right now. Yeah,
doesn't matter.
It's a good point. Every Wednesday. I wish I was on Wednesdays.
But you can wear a Hawaiian shirt on Thursdays. I'll join you. I've got a closet full. The basketball recruiting scene is also hot. So go to GoPowerCat.com. Check all of that. K-State recruit. I saw they're in on like a top 5 player. Just absurd awesomeness in the recruiting world now here in the state of Kansas. Both KU and K-State. So that never stops either. Check it out. You can follow Fitz at Life of Fitz on social. We appreciate it. Next week's game week. Let's do it.
Thanks, boys. Great to hear from you.
There goes Tim Fitzgerald. You can find all the great work from he and his crew there as we ramp it up. It is it both is crazy that it's already here and cannot get here fast enough, Tommy. Like, we can't, like, I cannot get to this as quickly as I would like to.
The only thing that I'm a little concerned about is that we've got potential playoff baseball from the Royals, and I'm going to have to balance my
time. That adds to it. No, you know, it adds to it.
Talk to my wife about adding more sports that I'm watching.
Get you a second TV in the basement. Now you can remind her that, you know, it's for work, so that you don't miss whatever the Royals are doing while football is happening. I'm telling you, that's how I won that conversation. I'm like, listen, I have a job to do here, and I need a second TV sitting next to one that already is there. And, you know, Tommy, put your foot down. You know, like, put your foot down here. Come on.
Have you met my wife?
I've met every man's wife. And those are all just words, right? Like, they're all just words for all of us. Hey, you want to win some HTO? You can do that right now. Tomorrow at HTO is buy one, get one free, all every Friday in August, as we celebrate back to school. But if you want to win a free iced tea, more than 20 flavors, if you want to win a free iced or hot coffee drink featuring free rain coffee from any Wichita Metro location, there are two, East and West Wichita and in Derby, you can text the keyword tea right now, TEA, to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We'll come back. More Sports Daily right after this. Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on this Thursday. It feels like a fall Thursday, certainly. And I can't be more excited about that. In next week, you know, next week we start a weekly visit with Wyatt Thompson, hopefully with Dan Israel. We continue with Fitz. We'll have our KU insider in. We got picks. We got high school football. We're still working on our, you know, betting capabilities of some sort. Of course, we will be talking about betting no matter what. I love the fall. The fall is so dadgum much fun for what we do for a living, because every day you feel like you can't cram it all in. Like, you're just like, we're out of time. Sorry, everybody. And it's great. I will not run out of time this weekend. Programming note, if you would like to listen on the Infinity Sports Network, I'll be on there Saturday from 11 to 4 this time zone. 5 hours. I'm not going to run out of time, but we'll have some of we'll talk to some people around the country. Get ready. I'm excited about that too, because it is a fall preview from sort of like a national perspective, which is always fun too to expand out like that. But tune in if you're around. Call in. Love to hear from you. Tommy, let's talk more about the Royals. They get the day off now, so we get the gathering of things. We talked about the win, the importance of the win, and what's coming. It will open with Philadelphia, and it'll be Waka, Singer, Lugo for that series. Philadelphia's never really going to let up. I mean, I suppose you could look at it as, you know, the first game of the series against Taijuan Walker is the best opportunity. Ranger Suarez and Zach Wheeler. you hate playing Philadelphia. You really hate playing Philadelphia when you have those two on the mound. But doesn't mean you can't beat those two, certainly. I mean, you know, 10-5 record for Suarez. Wheeler has a 12-6 record. I think those are pretty indicative, honestly, of just how even this season has been. But it's likely games where you're going to get significant outcomes from the bullpen one way or the other. You'll see good starting pitching on both sides, which just increases that likelihood that the most meaningful things happen late in the game. And that goes to what we were talking about earlier. It for the regular season, it has to be more than just two or three guys closing down a game for you. And this will be tested in a great way, I am certain, over this 20 games. They will need others in the bullpen to just keep you in it. Give your offense a chance against the other team's bullpen, right? Like, just give us anything, right? Just let the offense have an opportunity late. That when the Royals' bullpen is at its worst, it feels insurmountable. right? It feels insurmountable when you see those. If the Royals are trailing by a run or two, and you know you're about to get into the ugly part of the bullpen, it feels insurmountable right now.
I don't know if I would go that far, because I think that with the offense that the Royals have, you never feel like they're totally out of it. Although as of late, yeah, when they've been behind, there have been multiple situations this season where you've seen the offense try to get back into a game and they've gotten close, and then the bullpen has let them down. But I don't know if I would ever say it's insurmountable.
No, and I said it feels, I know it's not insurmountable. Yeah. Of course it's not, but it feels that way, right? Like if I'm watching a game and I see
it would feel insurmountable for me if I knew that the offense didn't have that kind of pop to get them back in the game.
Again, it's not insurmountable, but the problem is like what the perfect microcosm was Wednesday. No, was Tuesday against the Angels. You knew, I mean, the Royals had it back like that. You're like, all right, no big deal. And then what happens? Very next inning, bullpen comes in, and it's not even like, it's just like a total throwaway. And you're like, God bless. Yeah. Like that was terrible.
Well, let's just be real. I mean, Chris Stratton shouldn't find the field for the remainder of the season. He's not right. It's not working. You know, it's every time out. You know, I think he's going under an inning. Like, you know, the other night, he went a third of an inning and gave up multiple
gotta
runs.
But you got to put somebody out
I know
there,
you
got to right?
put like, somebody out there. And I can tell, and I know that Quatrero is, like, trying to test things, like trying to figure out who else can we actually lean on. And I get that, and I respect that. And you need to know who you're going to be able to trust. But
shoot. It's a roster issue.
It's not Chris Stratton. I can tell you that much. No. It's not Chris Stratton.
It's MacArthur first, I think. I think he's at least given us enough. He is not. He seems to have at least exercised the demon of before he lost the mojo, the little bit of mojo that he had. So I think it's him. I don't know what's happened with Long. They need Harvey back. I'll say that. Will Smith, I trust as little as I trust Stratton at this point. That was a nice little run he had, but he doesn't have that anymore. I mean, maybe Carlos Hernandez, can he move up into a more prominent role? I know they feel like they need him as their long guy, but at any point you could call up Alec Marsh. I mean, I assume Alec Marsh has lots of options. So can Hernandez come into a more prominent role? I think that's all of them. Is there anybody we're forgetting about there?
You know, Sam Long is not, you know, going to be the guy, I don't think. I mean, he's
I still trust him more than Stratton or Will Smith.
Sure, yeah. You know, do you trust Zerpa more than those guys? I mean, Zerpa had a nice little stretch earlier in the season, but it's not been good for him recently either.
No, he's been bad. Like, this is the problem, right? And this is why when I say it feels insurmountable. It's not insurmountable. Of course it's not. The Royals have been one of the best teams in baseball in scoring runs late in the game. But that doesn't do you any good if you're trailing and your bullpen just keeps, you know, every time you come back, they just keep giving up more runs and keep giving up more runs. And the Royals just aren't in a position at this point, I don't think, to run, you know, Schreiber, Bubich, or, I mean, Bubich is interesting, or Ursig certainly, when you're trailing. Because you expect to need them when you're leading and to enhance your chances of winning those games. It's a tough spot. Look, it's a tough spot. And everybody's going through it. And maybe the starting pitching will step it up a little bit. But they'll be okay. Again, I would tell you that if they navigate this at 500, they are in the playoffs for sure. Like that's what needs to happen. Can it be better? Absolutely, it can be better. Could it be worse and they still make the playoffs? Absolutely, it could still be worse and they make the playoffs. It depends largely on what everybody else does. But I think I would tell you that if they're 500 over the stretch, they're in. That's where I'm sort of at with predicting things. Like if they can do that, I think they'll be fine.
Going back to the game last night, one thing that we didn't mention, it was another game where the Royals were able to score some runs, not a ton, but score some runs, without an awful lot of production from Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez, and Vinny Pasquantino. It came from other areas in the lineup. MJ Melendez had a home run, and Kyle Isbell drove in the other two. And so, you know, it's been interesting over the stretch, you know, the 5 of 6 games that they've just won. Of course, the middle of the lineup is the key place for the Royals, and that's their bread and butter. But at the same time, the bottom of the lineup has been pretty effective. And of course, you know, a lot of that was Darren Blanco in the huge games that he had over the weekend. But last night it was Kyle Isbell batting ninth, you know, that was able to drive in two runs. And so they're getting that production from other places, yeah. Which again is incredibly helpful because for a long time it was feast or famine for the Royals. If those, the three guys in the middle of the lineup didn't do anything, they weren't getting production anywhere else and the offense would fall flat. It's been a lot more consistent where even if the middle of the lineup can't contribute in a certain game, you've got other places that are.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I have almost no concern about the lineup anymore. And it can go cold, I get it. But they are 1,000 times more dynamic, and a credit to the players that, you know, they added DeYoung, which has been a really nice addition, but all the credit in the world goes to the players for collectively just being more dangerous and dynamic than they were for such a large portion of the early season. And I think that's helped, by the way, with Salvi, Vinny Pasquantino. I thought about this the other day, like if because you just want to think about the playoffs at this point, like, another team would be foolish to just come into a game with the approach of, well, just don't give those three anything to hit, right? Like, they're so much farther than that. And so you look across baseball, I'm not sure that when you consider all factors to a playoff roster, right, when we're thinking about basically the roster that would take the field every day in a playoff series, I don't think that you can, other than maybe the Dodgers, but they're deficient in starting pitching, you could look at someone and just be like, that's a better roster top to bottom. Maybe deeper? Yes. Maybe a little deeper in the bullpen? Certainly. But top to bottom, they got the most productive middle of the order in baseball. That is a fact. They have as deep a starting rotation 1-5 as there is in baseball. That is a fact. And now they have a closer who has absolutely been lights out, and a couple of decent, we'll call them, options to set him up. If they can get there, this is a team to not just get to. This is a team 100% built to win in October.
It is. I think that that's why going into this stretch of baseball, my expectation is over 500. And I know it's a difficult stretch of baseball, but again, it goes back to what I said before. If you feel like this team is a legitimate contender in October, then now's the time to flex a little bit. And this is going to be the best opportunity for the Royals to get playoff ready by playing playoff teams in the next 20 games. to show really truly what you're made of. Here's my concern. If you get through the next 20 games and you're at 500 or below 500 after playing teams like the Phillies and the Yankees and, you know, the Guardians and that stretch of baseball that they have coming up, if you're sub 500, at that point, sure, they could still absolutely make the playoffs. And I don't, like you mentioned before, I don't think it disqualifies them from, you know, getting a wild card spot or a playoff spot in general. But what it does for me, even subconsciously, it makes me think, they might make the playoffs, but they're probably going to have a short run in the playoffs. But if you can go through this stretch of baseball and you can hold your own against some of the other top teams in the league, then that gives me that much more confidence in them in the month of October. And what it should do is it should give the team that much more confidence in the month of October. If they can get through this stretch in a successful way and they can beat the Phillies and the Dodgers and these other Yankees, these other teams, then they can go into October thinking we did it before, we can do it again. And we can legitimately make a run here.
And for the Phillies specifically, you're going to face two aces. Like, it's not, you know, you're not getting cheap wins if you do good things against the Phillies in this series. We'll talk more about it tomorrow, but that gets going. Enjoy the day off. There aren't a lot of them, only one in that stretch of 20 games that we're talking about. So hopefully the Royals are getting well relaxed and rested before they start that series with Philly. Helps they don't travel either before that series. They get to stay home for the day off. We have some breaking news in the NFL on a trade. One of the absolute Super Bowl contenders in my mind adds what could be significant piece. We'll tell you about it. How's that for a tease when Sports Daily returns? Don't go away. It's all Brockton Caster. Thanks for listening to us on KFH. Thanks for watching us on all the different ways you can watch us, including 12 News Connected. We'll get to that NFL nugget. Does that impact the Super Bowl, you know, hopes of one team? I think it does. We'll talk about it next on Sports Daily. Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on a Thursday. All right, so I teased this trade, Tommy. Jahan Dotson, who's had a very strange offseason in Washington, who's a talented young receiver who's had a pretty nice start to his career, for some reason was in the absolute doghouse in Washington, so much so that they're willing to trade him in division to Philadelphia. This is a guy who's been, you know, good in his first couple of seasons. He goes to a team that is an absolute Super Bowl contender who had an absolute need at third wide receiver. Last year was a bit of a step back for him, I will say, but he had 7 touchdowns in his rookie year, has had 500 yards receiving in each year. I like this for Philadelphia. I don't know what in the world was happening with Washington. It was bad enough that they trade a talented guy away from their rookie quarterback. So who knows, but if you're looking at Philadelphia, is there a more, and I don't think they're getting slept on necessarily, but Philadelphia is as much of a threat, in my opinion, to the Chiefs in their third Super Bowl in a row as any team in football. Like, if you're looking at the upsides around football, I think for teams, if you go through and, you know, I think the biggest contenders would be, you know, Baltimore, Cincinnati, you might put the Jets in that category, depending on what you feel about Aaron Rodgers. I'll never write off Josh Allen, but Niners, Lions, Eagles, probably in the NFC. If you look at all those teams and think about upside, like if all things go well, which of those teams are the best? I think the Eagles are right there or ahead of anybody. I mean, remember what they added to that defense. I don't know what happened in Philadelphia last year. It was bizarre. They added Saquon Barkley. Now they've added a third wide receiver that's far better than what they had. If they just get back to form to what they were 2 years ago, I think their upside is as high as any team in football.
Their roster was good last year. Their roster is even better this year.
Yeah.
The issue has been Nick Sirianni, and that was a lot of the conversation a year ago when they were sliding and things were not working well for them. And it really kind of started when the Eagles beat the Chiefs in the regular season. After that point, the Eagles just kind of fell apart. And it seemed like there was some discontent growing between some of the players and Nick Sirianni and, you know, kind of that the Nick Sirianni shtick was kind of starting to wear thin a little bit. There were even rumblings that the Eagles might have made a change after the season away from Nick Sirianni, which would have been wild considering, you know, Sirianni led them to a Super Bowl against the Chiefs a couple years ago. So, you know, I do think that that's going to be part of it. It's going to be a matter of whether or not Sirianni can, you know, kind of right the ship a little bit and maximize the roster that he has, especially considering that it's better with the additions on defense. You mentioned Saquon Barkley, which that's one of the more, I think, slept on acquisitions in the offseason. Sure. You know, everybody focuses on things like Derrick Henry going to the Ravens and all of that, but Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles could be another game changer for them. So, and that was also, you know, in the division as well, and Barkley goes to a division rival. So I do think that that's all on paper better than a year ago. It's just going to be a matter of how Sirianni manages that.
And think about with Saquon, he has been on some dreadful offenses, dreadful. Shane Steichen leaving Philadelphia really hurt them, certainly. And I think most people feel like he's going to be a decent, but that to me is what, like, they just, I last year was so strange for them. I don't even know how to explain it, but I highly doubt it happens again. I'll say that. And you add Saquon Barkley, who's been, I mean, I'm trying to remember back early in his career. Has he ever been on a good offense? I'm not sure that he has. He's certainly not been on an offense as dynamic as what Philadelphia is going to run out there. He could feast. He's really, really talented, right? So I'm with you. I think I don't know that this particular move changes like the power structure in the NFC, but man, if they can get the best of what Dotson has tantalized, it probably puts them, I might move them ahead of San Francisco. I don't know. Like, they're so close, and I think Detroit deserves consideration, but it's going to be tight. Again, like, how many teams can actually win a Super Bowl? It's the Chiefs, certainly, the Ravens, the Bengals. I still am going to put the Bills there, even though I can't find it. I just will. I think the Jets have to be there. The Texans certainly can be there. And then it's just those three teams in the NFC, but man, did they get stronger. And Chiefs are the leader in the clubhouse. We know that. But remember how razor thin it's been for them to win the two Super Bowls that they won. If you're a Chiefs fan, somebody who we talk about them every day, I don't like that the Eagles just got Jahan Dotson. Because in a razor thin world in the NFL, maybe that's the difference in the way a Super Bowl goes. You know what I mean? Like, that could absolutely be a factor there.
Yeah, I mean, and going back to your question about Barkley and whether or not he's ever been on a good offense, not really. And
I don't think so.
You have to go. I mean, the 2022 season was the only year that they made the playoffs when Barkley was there. But even then, we're talking about not a great offense. I mean, Brian Daboll came in his first season and led them to the playoffs. But it was still, you know, it wasn't like a super dynamic offense for them.
I'm so ready for the NFL. Are you more ready? This is a weird question. Are you more ready for college football or the NFL?
I think I'm actually more ready for college football.
Almost always the answer for me is NFL, and it probably still is, just because it comes with fantasy football and it comes with the, you know, the betting aspect and all that stuff. College football is as close as it ever has been because of the excitement around the two schools we follow the most closely and the expanded playoffs. I'm curious to see in my own brain, as I'm consuming this all year, if college makes any headway for me where the NFL has always been. I think there's a decent chance. I think there's a decent chance. We've had just a little bit that we've talked about both of those today. I think I might have butterflies, Tommy. And that's embarrassing, but it's true. Getting the tours. By the way, getting the countdown to kickoff tour and the Rising Star road trip over at 12 News in Ketchup, Kansas, that's getting me excited. It does every year. We are ready for fall sports, football included. And if you missed any of that, so we're going to have Brandon and TJ join us on Fridays. They'll help us make picks. They're also going to help us preview high school football. And so I say that to say, if you're ready for high school football, if you've got kids going into high school football, the high school football audience is always evolving because it graduates. Like the consumers also graduate along with the kids. If you need to get ready for it, catchkansas.com, which will, you know, feature greatly here through a partnership, has all those previews going online right now. And people have been getting so annoyed that they can't see them because of the political convention right now, which I'm right there with you, I promise you. But they're there at catchitkansas.com. So if you're missing them because you can't stay up late because we get this fan fest happening now for the second time this cycle. We had it once already on one side of the aisle. Now we've got it with the other. You can find those at catchkansas.com. They're all posted there for you. I'm telling you, Tommy, I am going to lose my mind before this week's over if I have to talk one more time about the musical performers at a political convention. Or, you know, like, I'm just sitting here thinking, and this is a little bit of your world, all I can think about is, these jerks are getting free airtime.
Oh,
they should
be
for this airtime.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it drives me insane. Like, why do we do this? God, it just makes me. There are a few things that really get under my skin, and I try not to let things get under my skin. This is one of them that really bothers me. Giving mega corporations free airtime also really bothers me, but this feels the exact same way as when we talk about, hey, Starbucks has its new flavor launch. Like, Starbucks didn't pay for that.
Speaking of airtime, we get airtime tomorrow, right? Isn't that tomorrow?
Ah, yeah. Well, we are okay. So tomorrow, an hour of tomorrow's program is going to air alongside, I think it's the pregame festivities to the NFL on CBS preseason game on Sunday, which is the Broncos game. So as a part of that pregame coverage, you'll see an hour of this show. The second hour tomorrow will go there. We're you know, as a part of this partnership, we're going to introduce a newer, you know, group of people to what we do here. So we're really excited about that. Glad you said that, because tomorrow's show format may be just a little bit different. We're going to really gear that, you know, that second hour as a standalone hour that's also going to air on television, on broadcast television, not on our normal 12 News Connected partnership. So that's coming this weekend. Should I wear a Hawaiian?
Please don't.
I might.
For the sake of our show and the future of it, please don't do that.
I have a, if you're a pro wrestler, I have a Razor Ramon, the old pro wrestler. I have a Hawaiian of him. I got some thinking to do now. That'll be tomorrow on the show. Don't go away. We'll tell you what's on the network today. Next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.